go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubecker, your host, and I am happy to be here. On today's episode, we're going to go a little different direction. But just bear with me, it'll make sense in the end, and it will benefit you now as well as benefit you later. Today, we're going to talk about finding the exit, or your exit strategy. Exit strategy is one of the items that people think about the least when starting a business. Yet, it's something you should think about right from the beginning. Because the decisions you make about how, in the end, you hope to exit will definitely have some bearing on how you should build your business. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go into a few different ways you could possibly exit in the end. All of us are building a business in the end to be able to support the kind of lifestyle we want. And in the end, that looks different for everybody. However, it all fits into a few different categories and ways to exit a business. And by understanding what you want in the end, you can in turn put the things in place that you need to in the beginning to make sure you are most efficient about getting to your destination. Much like when you're going on a trip, you often immediately enter the destination into your GPS. From that point, you know exactly how long it's going to take to get there, and you're going to have an optimized route. If you just jumped in the car and started driving, heading in the direction you thought you should go, you may find down the road you need to course correct. You may find you went many miles out of the way. So as you can see, planning the end point is very important from the beginning. And the sooner you do it, the better. So in the end, when you get rid of your business, when you decide, you know what, it's time for me to hang it up, it's time for me to retire, or maybe it's time for you to seek another venture, for whatever reason. There's really four or five different ways that you can go about making an exit. The first obvious one would be to use a typical merger and acquisition, meaning you can either sell your company to a larger entity that's already in the business. Maybe it's just someone that wants to invest in your industry, or perhaps it's to an entity around the same size or even smaller than you, and by bringing your two entities together, you can find your way out as well as maximize the effectiveness of both entities. There's a lot of different ways you can do that, but when we go through the ways to build things, it's not going to matter what you're going to do in the end as far as that, just knowing that, hey, you know what, my exit strategy is to sell this business in the end. Another less common way that people will exit is through an IPO. Now, an IPO, or initial public offering, is basically taking your company public and selling stock. It's a very complicated and expensive process. The returns at the end can be very good, but you have to have the right company built in the right way with the right numbers. Now, I won't get into too deep about that. It's very different for every industry, but just know that that option exists. And if things take off like gangbusters and you build something amazing that has a lot of interest from outside investment, that could be a way you want to consider. If you do, then you're definitely going to want to get some experts specifically in that space and that specifically deal with IPOs and they specifically have experience in your industry. Now, when you're talking merger and acquisition, that's usually to another company in the industry. There is another type of sale that we would just call, you know, selling to a friendly buyer. That could be someone that wants to invest. That could be someone that owns some other things, a bunch of different scenarios. But it is possible to just sell your business outright to someone that wants to operate it without them actually being in the industry. Obviously, that scenario would be a little bit different because they would probably want you to stay on for longer or provide them with more education on the industry if they're not already familiar. But that's certainly a viable option also. Now, I understand we're talking about exit strategies. Well, you can also keep your business. Now, what I mean by that is like turn it into a cash cow. So basically, by a cash cow, I mean, hey, you would hire someone to take over all the responsibilities you have in the business. And then from there, you would just keep collecting paychecks. Now, the problem with that is oftentimes you get pulled back in. Oftentimes it can be hard to find exactly the right person that you can trust to run it for you. But if that's the route you want to take and you think it's possible, that's certainly something to look at too. Sometimes in a business, you realize that the biggest value you have could be your equipment or it could be your list of customers, and maybe you're not having much luck getting someone to actually acquire you. Then you might want to just look at liquidating and closing. That would be kind of a last resort to me anyway. That would be the minimal way to get everything you've worked for. So to me, that's a last resort if you have to get out of an industry for some reason and you have to do it very quickly. It can be easy and it can be quick, but it's just not very profitable. And to me, it would be kind of disappointing if I build something and then turns out later I can't even unload it. So those are the different ways you have to sell. And even honestly, there's a couple different ways too. When you say friendly individual, that can be someone from outside the industry, or that can actually be your employees. That's becoming more and more increasingly popular, is to actually move to an employee-owned model and sell it to one or more individuals that have been with the company for a while, so they know the industry in and out. If you're taking a payout over a period of time, to me, there's less risk there also, because they know the industry, they've been part of the business. It could even be someone that's been in management for you and that knows the intricacies of how everything works. In the end, it really turns out how much you were involved in the business on the day-to-day operations. So those are kind of the ways that come to mind about ways to exit. So those are the end games. So when you figure out, say, hey, you know what? Most people will probably say, hey, I want to build this company so it can get acquired. You know, whether it's through a merger and acquisition, or whether it's through a, you know, sale to an individual or a group of individuals, I want to build this so I can sell it and I can reap bigger rewards than what I thought I would be able to from just continuing to operate it. Maybe you want to get into a different industry. Maybe you're done altogether and want to retire. Or maybe your business has done so well that you think you can sell it, and then you'd have enough of a nest egg that you can just retire on that and spend more time with your family, more time traveling, whatever that looks like for you as an individual. But that being said, we need to be really conscious when we're building this business. The biggest mistake people make when they have a business, and they'll go have it for 10, 15, 20 years, and then they'll go like, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm ready to sell. And then they'll realize they don't even have a business. I know that sounds harsh, but let me explain. So if you are working in the daily operations of your business, and there are things that only you can do, if every time you try to go on vacation, things slow down or even shut down in some cases, you don't have a business. You made yourself a job. Let me say that again. If you cannot remove yourself for a period of time, you do not have a business. You made yourself a job. So here's the problem with that. You try to sell your business. You are doing so much, or there are such critical things that only you know or that only you can do. The value without you is diminished. And you're selling to somebody because you want to get out of it. You're not selling to somebody because you don't want to own it. You're selling to someone so that you can either do something different or that you can exit altogether. And having to stay and work for a new person, that really becomes a job because you're no longer the boss either. So it's very important that when you start building a business, you start thinking about the exit from the beginning. So as you're building systems, and even if there's things that you do in the beginning, that's no problem. You absolutely will need to get some sweat equity in the beginning. You'll need to get your hands in everything. And for me, I always like to do most processes myself so I understand them in and out before I hire. Like, for example, new business startup. I'm going to jump into the sales role because I know that role, I know the product, and I'm going to build out the system of how I'm finding customers, potential customers, how I'm working with those customers, the quoting process, the follow-up process, Everything I do from the time I first touch someone, or even how I first touch someone, all the way through to till they buy and then the project is done. I'm going to document everything. And then as I go along, say, okay, I've got that section of it taken care of. Okay, now I'm going to hire someone to jump in that position. So then I would move up to, say, a sales manager type position. So again, I'd start over and I would document every possible process, every possible thing, so that someone else could easily jump in with a minimal amount of training because everything is laid out so clearly. Everything gets done the same way each time. So that just adds to your ability to scale because, okay, you train the first salesperson. You have the process documented. So if you want to train one or you want to train five, it becomes that easy. So through the course of that, after you have all the processes made up, there's also ways to automate those sorts of things. Like, for example, now with Sheepdog, with our gun shops, we hire so many new employees. And there's a section of the onboarding process that I like to do myself to basically share with them the mission and share with them how we were founded and share with them why we do what we do. Now, I could take the time and go sit down and talk to each one of them individually, which at one point for quite a while, that's what I did. But now, through the use of video and methods online to store video, we're able to take them through those processes at their own pace when they start, and I don't have to spend the time with them each time. And other team members, like, for example, my partner who handles compliance, has modules built to enable people to train on those things also without him having to also sit down with people. Now, given there's certainly time was that we would want to touch new employees and introduce ourselves and make sure that they have what they need and make sure everything's going smoothly so that we can welcome them to the team and build that appropriately. But we don't want to have to do that. And if we had to remove ourselves for a period of time, we need to make sure that this machine that we're building is going to continue to function, continue to flow, and there's not going to be a huge hiccup. So as we're building, we want to think about, okay, how do I replace myself? How do I pull myself out of those processes? But then also, how do I continue to make sure that things are done the way that I want them to be done, and they are done right, and they are done that align with our core values of our organization? Now, as you move along, sometimes there can be bumps in the road. There'll be things that it'll be more difficult to replace yourself with. Don't fret on those. It's definitely a process. It's something that you're going to do over the course of time and not something that's just going to happen overnight. However, if you have the mindfulness that this is where I want to go in the end, it will enable you to put the things in place that you need to. So if you think about it from the framework of, I need things to run when I'm not in the business so I can work on the business. Now, for example, I'll give you another example from Sheepdog. When we got our first location running smoothly and had a manager in place to be able to take care of everything, it allowed us to focus on scouting for the next location and beginning to work on the design and all those other sorts of things that will go into the next store. Now, as we did the next store, our second location, we took this documentation thing to a new level. So now everything that we've done in the first store, we did in the second store, improved it, but now it's also all documented. So when we get ready to open our third store, the scale of it will be so much easier. We could actually literally take these documents and sell them if we wanted to. And it's basically gun store in a box. Basically, it'll tell you everything about setting up, why we set up the displays, why we do, why we market, how we do, those processes. The things that you do when you're opening a store 12 weeks out, 8 weeks out, 4 weeks out, grand opening, after grand opening. Things we do different during the holiday seasons. All these sorts of things are all documented, all easy to follow, and all totally repeatable. And now through the process of doing that, it's enabled us to be able to remove ourselves. Whether that be for a couple weeks to go on a vacation, or whether that be to pull back and to be able to expand the business and work on growing the business, we're able to do that and it's very painless. So when we're building a business and focused on the exit and focused on replacing ourselves and focused on being able to come in and out and work on the things that we're passionate about and work on the things that we need to, that the business needs us, it gets us out of the daily operations. So now when we go to sell this business, if we do, I'm assuming we will at some point, everything is already in line. We don't have to go through 6 months to a year of work to get our ducks in a row. Our ducks are all lined up. Makes it very, very simple. I hope this was beneficial to you. And if you have any questions, by all means, hit me up, jump in the DMs, jump in my email. Contact info is all there. I'll be more than happy to help. It may sound like an overwhelming, complicated thing to even think about your exit strategy, but it's really not that big of a deal as long as you start doing it from the beginning and you have the right mindset also. Thanks for tuning in. If there's someone that needs to hear this, please remember to share the episode with them. If you haven't already subscribed, please do so. Thanks for joining us. I'm Steve Schaubacher, the Tactical Entrepreneur. Until next week, keep building those businesses.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.